The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Monday, December 23rd, Field. Matthew and Stefania hanging out with you on this surprisingly beautiful morning in Bristol, Connecticut.
Sure.
Like 40 degrees.
It's like warm.
Yeah, I'm not sure
40.
What's going on. Apparently, we got all of our chill out in early December. Supposed to be a reasonable week ahead, which means it'll probably snow 5.5 feet.
Yeah.
But good to be with you guys this morning. Hopefully, some people are waking up this morning having clinched championships because there's just one game left in week 16 and many leagues don't play into week 17. A lot of significant things taking place today, Matthew, including something that I know you're very excited about.
It's Festivus.
Dang right?
It is. So, listen, I mean, a lot of people say, like, well, Matthew, isn't every day like Festivus for you,
That's
the airing of grievances? And honestly,
but it's
yes,
Festivus for the rest of us.
It is Festivus for the rest of us. That is very true. I will now listen to the airing of grievances from both of you, my beloved co-hosts.
You know something? I have
any grievances
that I don't get to spend the rest of the week with you. That's
fair.
My one grievance.
Wow.
That's fair enough.
Tough follow.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to stay silent.
Stefania, any grievances from you?
After Field said such nice things, I think I'm just going to air my grievances privately.
To me? to my bosses? So, I have many grievances.
You know what?
Yeah.
We're going to do a special.
It starts
on
with
that.
Jameis Winston.
Oh, okay.
Can I just do a half hour on Jameis?
Do you have enough content?
Really?
More than enough. More than enough, yeah.
Really? I can just take you through every play against the Texans.
Let's admit a couple of things about today's show. Is that it's sort of goofy. This is our first show and our last show of week 17. It's the holidays. We hope that many of you are spending time with loved ones somewhere, and hopefully many memories are created this week. It's also a weird week for fantasy football. At the time that we are taping this podcast, or if you're watching live, for those of you that are watching us live on a variety of mediums, we don't know who is going to play and who's not going to play in week 17. So some of the stuff that we'll talk about today, and we'll get into some scenarios here, could change with one coach's press conference or a snap of fingers.
It's a weird week.
So we're going to do our best to sort of blend yesterday and Saturday's outcomes and also push things forward a little bit. And we encourage you guys to A, watch fantasy football now on Sunday morning, and B, like, keep up with us during the week. We'll still be available on Twitter and Instagram and various mediums where, you know, is that this week?
Love Hate is coming out this week. There will be two episodes of The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus this week as well. There'll be one today and then one Thursday as well.
Yeah.
So Love Hate, our rankings will be updated throughout the week. And of course, as you mentioned, Field Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. So 3 hours all the way up until kickoff. Yourself, Stefania, myself, Will Kane, the whole cast and crew. Mike Clay will be there as well,
right.
And
so that's
reporters
probably
everywhere, and that'll be the,
right,
you know,
and it'll
we'll
be important because there could be last minute changes aplenty. In this week.
I mean, think about all the things. So that's sort of our message is like, don't stop listening now. I mean, not that anybody listens to this podcast anyways, but
don't stop downloading now.
Well, you can, don't stop downloading now, but also watch us on Sunday morning, right? Like,
right,
get us lots of views because at that point we'll have who's playing, who's injured, it's not playing because of injury. Actually, a game tonight does impact the playoff scenarios for week 17. So there's a lot at stake that will change between when we're recording this now and Sunday morning.
And it's my birthday on Sunday. So
that's
there
right.
you go.
That's
so people
right.
can watch to watch me, you know,
for those
get another
who
year
watch
old.
You wondering
age,
what
to
I
get, watch me
to
literally
do.
Age before your eyes.
Yeah.
That'll
great
be fun.
For
you. It's
great
a big
we'll see
age,
if I make
gracefully?
It. We'll see if I make it. But
why
yeah,
do you
number.
Age gracefully? Is
what?
That fair? Are you going to age gracefully?
I haven't yet.
No,
why
but there's
start
always
now?
There's always a chance.
There's always a chance that
I
might.
It's actually a big number for you.
What?
It's a big number. For
it's a big
you.
Number.
Yeah,
for
it
me.
Is. It's a big,
big
one.
Number for me.
We're glad you made it. It's like one of those.
We'll
things
see.
You, is
I still got.
Press?
I got seven
and
days,
when
Stefania.
Get, when you get to that one, then it's like this, like the little choo-choo up and over the top.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. Listen, my career is a little, you know, kind of the engine that could, little engine that could.
All right,
kind
so fun week ahead. Matthew's birthday on Sunday. Start planning your festivities accordingly. But for now, let's get to the football.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Real quick.
Oh. What do you got?
I am so liquid right now on Venmo with money from Matthew
this is
that
true.
My gift for you will actually be free.
That's a good point. Yeah, am I buying my own gift?
You're buying your own gift.
I thought you were donating that money to a good cause.
You know what, Stefania? When you put that way.
Because Field,
are you
know,
saying I'm not a good cause?
No, because I know that I've contributed
yes,
to the fund.
Yes, you have. Oh,
and that, surely start funding.
And contributing to that fund did not mean for it to go to Matthew's gift. It meant for it to go to small children or something worthy.
Let me just tell everyone what goes on behind the scenes. Stefania has a potty mouth. Stefania is like a sailor.
I call it entrapment. Yeah. You put me next to certain folks in the war room on
Sunday.
I'm
the entrap king.
What's going to happen?
Not the trap queen. I'm the entrap king. That's me. I lure you in.
I've now taken a chapter out of Matthew's book and I'm Venmoing Field money in advance.
It's so amazing. It was amazing too because basically someone had a quote that included a curse word. And he showed it to Stefania to read it, and Stefania read it, and then Stefania got dinged the dollar. And it's like,
I got mad that I got dinged, so then I doubled down.
You doubled down.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
All right. So, as we said.
Anyway. Yes, sir.
We are what still we sort of figuring out who has things to play for, who does not for week 17. As of right now, there are only two teams that are completely, entirely, unconditionally locked into their respective seeds. The Ravens are the number one seed in the AFC. Nothing can change based off week 17. The Bills, who we'll start with, are the number five seed in the AFC, and nothing can change. And that being said, my early inclination is that the Bills will play their guys. This is a team on the rise.
It's a young team.
I don't think they want to go into the playoffs with having lost three or four games down the stretch of the season. Is that wrong, naive to say?
I don't think it's wrong and naive to say. I think they maybe play more than you would expect. You know, listen, it's a divisional game. They're at home against the Jets. You want to finish strong at home as well for the fans. Having said that, they don't have a ton of running back depth. I think you could see a lot more Frank Gore in this one than Devin Singletary. I think Frank Gore got three carries, three snaps, something insane on Saturday. I don't have the numbers in front of me real quickly, but he didn't play very much. Devin Singletary, despite his lack of box score production, as I am painfully aware of.
I don't get it.
Yeah, Festivus. You know, it's an airing of a grievance.
Gotcha. Got it.
But Devin Singletary was in the War Room League for me.
I was trying to entrap you again.
Yeah, understood. I generally don't curse on air. I'm pretty good about that.
Oh, boy.
Generally.
Famous
we're not live.
Last words.
Yeah. Generally.
Famous last
generally.
Words.
Generally. I'm not saying always.
Yourself.
I'm just saying
this
generally.
This might be the last show of the season. Might also be Matthew's last show of his career.
Well, every time I'm in front of a live microphone, let's be clear, is a chance it's my last show of the
no
year.
No risk it.
That's right.
English is my second language. All right. So I would just say, yeah, I think there's a chance there, but I think there's a couple of guys that you just feel like, and it was two snaps. It was actually two snaps for Frank Gore in week 16.
Nice.
Thirsty Kyle, thank you very much for the support there. So I think you could see a lot more Frank Gore in week 17 against the Jets. Does Josh Allen play all four quarters? I don't know about that. Does John Brown?
Yeah.
So
I think the point of this exercise, by the way, because the Bills are a little bit different than the Ravens, so there is actually, I think, more to work off of here, is just if you are riding John Brown right now or Devin Singletary or Josh Allen in the second week of a two-week playoff, you should at least be making other plans in case we get information later on today, later on in the week, Sunday morning.
Real question, though. And I think this is not just for Buffalo, but
not
so
a fake
many
question. This is a real question.
No. But this is going to be something that people struggle with, and I'm sure we'll talk about it plenty on Sunday. I believe there will be teams who there's a lot to the idea of going through the motions. So you get guys ready, you prep them all week, they dress, they go out there, they start, and then the team's like, okay, that's enough, and now we're taking you out, which is the worst nightmare, really. For fantasy
players. I think that's the question, right? Is how much are the Bills going to play? So Field's premise is, and I understand it, is this is a young team. They are trying to change the culture in Buffalo.
Right.
And they've done a great job, by the way. Hats off to the entire organization, mm-hmm. right? They have really turned that franchise around, and the future is bright in Buffalo. Having said that, we're just going to play it. We don't care. We don't want to lose three or four, to your point. But there's a question between do they play the whole game? Do they play a half?
Right.
How much do they play, or is it just one or two series? I agree with Field's premise. I think they play more than they don't, but do they play the full game? I don't know. And it's half of, and I'm making it up, right?
But
it's
I
half
think that's
a game
be a
or
frequent
three.
Question
sure.
You don't know. So just
we
again,
don't know.
You,
as of this taping Monday
risk
morning,
averse,
we don't know.
Then what you may say is, all right, I have played John Brown as one of my top wide receivers this year, and I'm going to go hunting on the waiver wire. The Ravens, similar boat, as we mentioned. They have nothing to play for in the sense that they are the one seed and there is no altering that. They play on Sunday against the Steelers, who do have lots to play for. The Ravens, yesterday, in a short period of time, saw Mark Ingram leave the game.
Yep.
Saw Mark Andrews leave the game and return. He was banged up. Lamar Jackson even got banged up a little bit during the game yesterday. They have nothing to play for. John Harbaugh has said they want that 14th win. He also said that the team is not going to hide their intentions. They're going to probably tell us later on Monday. So just be aware, and we'll talk about some of the players that you can consider inserting as a result of that. But we could be without Lamar Jackson on Sunday, Mark Andrews. I think Mark Ingram sounds like a massive long shot.
I cannot imagine playing Mark Ingram if I'm the Ravens. And look, Lamar Jackson is 1.5 fantasy points away from breaking the quarterback record that Patrick Mahomes set last year. Yeah. And I know that's very important to Lamar and the entire Ravens
organization. It is. I'm sure it's
massively important. It's something they've circled on their calendars. Sure. It's important to them. In all seriousness, though,
bubble wrap.
Why would you play any of those guys if you're John Harbaugh? If you're the Ravens,
Steelers, is that great to front seven?
Please, absolutely not. Now, do I think there's by the way.
RG3?
RG3.
I knew it.
My buddy RG3. Yep. Look, Gus Edwards. I think you see a lot of Gus Edwards on Sunday. I think he becomes interesting now.
Yeah.
You wish it was a better matchup because the Steelers are terrific defensively.
They are. Yeah.
They are. And so even in a game in which you're like, well, Gus Edwards should get a ton of work, it's the Steelers.
We'll talk about him just more in a little bit. But yeah, he would be the next man up. And obviously with the Ravens, no wide receivers have been fantasy relevant this year consistently. Marquise Brown's had some moments, but can't imagine that we'll be advocating for Willie Snead or Seth Roberts or something of that.
Yeah, Mark Andrews put a dagger in two of my finals yesterday.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Again, I'm airing grievances is what I'm doing throughout the show.
Keep an eye on a festival. A lot of people obviously be watching Monday Night Football as it is. Some fantasy finals are hanging in the balance for those that only play through week 16. And they'll give you the scenarios as well about what would happen if Packers win, but what happened to them in week 17? The Packers, no matter what, are playing for something in week 17. Mm-hmm. The Vikings, I think it's at least conceivable that they could have a scenario in week 17 where they might not be motivated to play their starters, but we're not necessarily here nor there at that time. So just keep an eye on the broadcast tonight as they discuss scenarios, especially if the game is out of hand in the second half one way or the other. We'll talk about plug and play guys in just a minute for week 17, but you know that fantasy football feeling? When the excitement for a new week builds, you feel that excitement or not so much?
Or the depression when you wake up in the
that
morning and go, what the hell happened? I had Chris Carson and Amari Cooper.
Flex your analytical skills by powering over stats.
Why do I owe a dollar? Hold on 1 second.
Because
hold on
we'll
to that live
read.
Second.
He needs to finish his.
I want to know why I owed a dollar. I don't owe a dollar. What word did I say?
Double hockey sticks.
Yep.
That's not a curse word.
We've established
that's
already.
That's why I'm airing a grievance right now. That's not a curse word.
It's at least 50 cents.
Absolutely
totally
not.
A curse word.
Do you care
Absolutely
about making the world a better
not.
Place or no?
Yeah.
Do you care about
the small children? You do.
Obviously, I care about small children. I try to make the world a better place. To the extent that I can with me still in it.
That's a dollar.
What do you mean that's a dollar? It's absolutely not a dollar.
Okay.
Well, I will fight that. Go ahead.
Our friends at TD Ameritrade, let's reset.
Let's talk about TD Ameritrade. We love TD Ameritrade.
You know that fantasy football feeling when the excitement for a new week builds? You flex your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. Well, what if I told you that you could use those same skills to invest and feel the same sense of anticipation every day? TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of those same analytical skills that you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money, so you can practice trading risk-free. There's charting to help you spot trends in the market. And they'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. That's tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC. You know, it's the holiday season. Sometimes you collect some dough as one of your gifts.
Yep.
Go to TD Ameritrade.
Or you spend a lot of it.
Or you spend some of it. That's true as well.
Paying field.
But if you do recoup some money, you can go and spend some of it, or invest it, I should say, with TD Ameritrade. All right, so now let's get to the players that could be plug-and-play options for Week 17. And speaking of TD Ameritrade, Fantasy Trends is brought to you by TD Ameritrade. And we begin with Gus Edwards, who played his college football at Miami, the U, and then finished up at Rutgers for one final season. As we know, Stefania, Mark Ingram dealing with that calf issue, which Spider-Sense of as a Monday morning is not going to see him.
Well, walking boot after the game, MRI on board today. Calf injury. Look at T.Y. Hilton and how much time a calf injury cost him.
Yeah.
This is not something I think they're going to fool around with.
Yep. I feel the same way. So we think Gus Edwards will start. Matthew,
yep.
He does not catch passes.
He does not.
He's got 6 catches so far this year.
No.
But he does chew up yards in the running game. We're talking about a potential top 20 play, top 25 running back play this week against the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, right? It's that the Steelers are so good against the run. But, yeah, look, they'll run their offense. You know, I mean, so you've got RG3 there, who is obviously crazy fast. Maybe not as fast as Lamar Jackson, but still, I mean, like.
Very fast, yeah.
Very fast. I mean, I think people forget. Like, it's been a few years, right? But, like, RG3 still has a tremendous amount of skill. And so you think about Justice Hill as well. I think you start seeing some of him. Yeah, top 20-ish. I haven't done my rankings yet, obviously, for Week 17. Lots of information still to be sort of sorted out here. But, yes, I think a heavy dose of Gus Edwards would be expected. You don't love the matchup.
That's correct. But still, I mean, if you've been playing Mark Ingram, which many of you have, you might well be in your championship.
There's still
already
a very good chance he falls into the end zone.
I agree on that. Hunter Renfro is available in 95% of leagues, and he came back after a ribs injury.
Right.
And returned yesterday.
Yeah, missed 3 weeks, and I really didn't see it coming that he was going to look the way he did.
Yeah, there was some talk when he got hurt that he would just go on IR.
That was actually the initial thought. So, props to
him. Wish he had. He should have. Should have been safe.
He's got that.
I'll tell you why. Because I have Darren Waller in a ton of leagues, and when Hunter Renfro is back out there, Waller's production drops significantly.
No longer Waller the baller. Well,
Waller the baller. So no, he's still Waller the baller. But anyway, I'm airing a grievance. Stefania,
Hunter Renfro had his best day of his career yesterday. Most catches in his young career, most yards in his young career, plus a touchdown.
A lot of it came
young
on
and Hunter Renfro.
That's
not
right.
Always
they don't
the
often
same
go
sentence.
Together.
Yeah,
good tweet by me.
It was a pretty good tweet. Not as good as your Browns tweet, but good tweet. Look, Hunter Renfro, talented player, and look, a lot of it came. He had one big play, with for the touchdown. But still, at the end of the day. 7 for 107 and a touchdown. Remember, at weeks 8 through 9, he was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. And so Hunter Renfro, part of what they're doing in Oakland, they have something to play for. Oakland has a chance
sure
to
do.
Make the playoffs. Now,
yes,
a lot has to happen. But
they needed 5 things to happen yesterday, and all 5 of them happened yesterday.
That's right. You're telling me there's a chance.
Dang right I am.
So, look, heading into Week 17, they are alive. They're at Denver. Now, the Broncos are tough against the slot.
Yeah.
5th fewest completions allowed to the slot. 4th fewest touchdowns allowed to the slot. So there is some challenge there. But, look, Hunter Renfro is going to play a ton of snaps. He's going to get a lot of looks. And so, in deeper leagues, if you're desperate, Hunter Renfro, kind of a wide receiver 3-4 to me. He's kind of in that range.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. He makes the waiver wire column for this week. Another wide receiver that does is Diontae Johnson, who's got 24 targets over the past 3 games and 19 catches for the Steelers.
It's interesting, right? Because his touchdown comes with Mason Rudolph, who then leaves with a shoulder issue. It was like musical chairs with
really
the quarterback
is.
Situation.
You
there.
Know, and you're basically going, it's the lesser of two evils right now, but no matter who starts, because Duck Hodges got benched, Mason Rudolph, as Stefania said, gets hurt, so Duck Hodges comes back into the game. It doesn't matter in the sense that neither one of them is good, right?
Yeah.
But someone's got to catch passes. And they're playing Baltimore, who we talked about the possibility of them resting key players. They may not make, they can only make 7 guys inactive. So it may be that they don't deactivate someone like Marcus Peters or Jimmy Smith. But both of those guys got banged up yesterday, too.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe it's the Ravens, I'm going to call it junior varsity because the team is so darn good. But the team's backup secondary players that are seeing a bunch of playing time on Sunday. So Diontae Johnson would be sort of an upside play. He certainly has speed, and the Steelers know how to groom and find wide receivers,
and
Johnson
Juju
seems to be the latest
is
find.
Not 100%, and we knew that going in, but that's not
can't
going to happen between now and next week either, so I think Diontae Johnson
Juju, right?
still has way more
cannot
upside.
Use cannot. You cannot use Juju at all. Johnson's averaging over 15 fantasy points a game over his last 3, so
yeah.
I mean,
solid.
There are other guys that I think I'd have a little bit more confidence in, but again, like you may be sifting through the rubble here.
These are just names
in Week 17.
Yeah.
Just names to put on your radar as we go through the week.
You know,
again,
actually,
it's early in Monday.
There's actually a lot of tight ends that are sort of in this box
players
you could play in Week 17. Mike Gesicki is one of those players that has probably the largest sample size of, like, solid fantasy relevance. You know, he's been busy over the past, well, really since Preston Williams went down on IR. It's Devontae Parker, and it's Mike Gesicki. Remember coming into the season, we discussed the Dolphins, and I think at the time we had said, like, if there was a team that would have zero fantasy-relevant players, it might be the Dolphins.
Oh, no.
This is what happens in fantasy football.
Yeah. This is what happens when you add a little Fitzmagic
A little Fitzmagic pixie dust turns your team
into
so fun.
I like Gesicki in the preseason. I actually picked him up as, like, this late-round flyer in a bunch of leagues, but by the time he got relevant, it was a little late for me. But he
was
on the radar.
Athlete.
Like, he's a very good athlete. I like him.
Former volleyball
a lot for next
player,
year.
Actually,
so if anyone caught that, Stefania wanted everyone to know that she picked him up. She dropped him. She bailed on him, but she believed in him at one point life.
Look, you know, I had injuries, and I had to get to people who were playing.
Yes.
You know, that's what one does.
Understood.
Well, he was on Stefania's radar at least at one point. He had his best game of his career yesterday. 6 for 82 with 2 touchdowns. That's over 26 fantasy points. He's got 5 or more targets in 8 straight games. So, again, volume is there. You don't love the matchup, though. That's part of what makes Fitz a difficult play for Week 17 is that Ryan Fitzpatrick has at least 20 fantasy points in 4 or 5 games. Now he gets the Patriots, who, as we know, they have things to play for in Week 17 as well.
Even if they didn't, let's be honest, the Patriots never rest their starters. Yeah. You know, for all that we talk about teams who, like, don't, you know, have if they don't
sometimes
have things to play for.
Sometimes they pulled them
early. No, they
Again, football's different than other sports. So, like, you can only make, as we said, only 7 guys can be inactive. So Gesicki would be another tight end to consider, available in almost 74% of leagues. So we're just going to rip through these 5 defenses really quickly here. Anything you want to add on Gesicki?
Just that someone's got to catch. I mean, like, they're going to, they'll put Stephon Gilmore on Devontae Parker. And so, you know, tight ends have had some success. To the extent anyone's had success against the Patriots, feels like tight ends. I mean, we think about Dawson Knox caught the 1 touchdown this past weekend. And so to the extent that anyone could have success against the Patriots, Gesicki does feel like he's, you know, in the mix to have an above-average day against the Patriots.
Before people clap back, Knox was ruled down at the 1 yard line,
but it was nearly
a touchdown. They instead
should have been a touchdown.
Dawkins got it. Dawkins, the offensive tackle,
the offensive line. No, you're right. You're right.
But tight ends have had, again, to the extent that anybody's had success, the tight ends have had success against the Patriots this season. 5 defenses to consider that are available in over 50% of leagues in succession: the Browns. They play the Bengals. Enough said, right? Did you know the Browns? So if I had, I guess I should have crafted this more a little wiser, but there are 2 teams this year that have not allowed a 300-yard passer. Who would you guess is one of them?
Patriots.
The other is the Browns.
Right. It's unbelievable.
That's ridiculous.
Meanwhile, all I needed them to do was stop Mark Andrews, who was playing against, like, in 3 leagues last week. Like, Mark Andrews had his best game of the year against me in 3 leagues.
Yeah,
I got Scott Clark by Scott Clark.
Didn't Scott Clark double tight end you with?
Yeah, and Dallas Goedert. Stupid Dallas Goedert. Like, and by the way, this is why you guys should watch
Fantasy Football
Now.
Because Dallas Goedert
is true. I'm so upset. I'm airing a grievance. I'm airing another grievance. So on fantasy, so Scott Clark had Greg Ward. We're in the 16-team league, so it's pretty dire, right? He has Greg Ward in his lineup. Then Sal Powell, stupid Sal Powell, comes on Fantasy Football Now
smart
and says,
no,
stupid Sal Powell.
Tight end whisperer Sal Powell.
Yes.
Tight end whisperer.
Stupid Sal Powell gets on Fantasy Football Now and says, I hear it's going to be a big Dallas Goedert game. Thanks, Sal Powell. Like, keep it to yourself. Couldn't you have said something else? But no, Sal Powell's got to be right. Always the tight end whisperer Sal Powell. He's constantly right. It drives me crazy. And so you know what Scott Clark does? Scott Clark immediately then takes Greg Ward out, puts Dallas Goedert in, who has the game of his life.
And 9 for 91 in the touchdown.
9 for 91 in a touchdown as Zach Ertz goes in and out of this game. Carson Wentz trying to get him killed. It's unbelievable. And so, Scott Clark double tight ends. Scott Clark gets 3 touchdowns from his stupid tight ends. Meanwhile, Darren Waller does absolutely nothing. I'm so bitter.
He had more.
I'm airing a grievance. I'm so upset. You have no idea how upset I am.
Okay, so
I expressed it properly? Because
no,
I'm so...
Five defense.
Meanwhile, by the way, and my dumb little... So my wife and I do like a friends and family league with all the kids and everything like that. And so whatever, I don't totally pay attention to it, but I help out a little bit.
That's embarrassing. You dabble.
It's, you know, we're playing with kids, but I set a lineup and do everything like that, right? And so it's a very low stakes league.
I don't trade.
I absolutely don't trade in the league and everything like that. No. So, here's the thing. So Beth and I, like, whatever. And so we're in the finals in this league and we're playing a kid.
No big deal.
And they, no, but I'm not bragging about it. Believe me. But anyway,
it's my 7-year-old daughter.
Right. It's like, I don't care. Like, I literally don't, but you're going to understand. So it's like a 12-team league.
The winner of the league is no elf on the shelf.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Exactly.
That's why he needs it.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to put an elf on the shelf in your house.
Follow you around and stare at you and make you behave.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And so anyway, the kid we're playing a kid. He starts Dallas Goedert. And so I come home. I'm so depressed. I haven't even looked at the matchup. And I go home and I'm so depressed over Dallas Goedert. Like, you know, it's like an eight, like it's a massive difference between Greg Ward, obviously. And I'm so depressed because I'm down massively to Scott Clark. And unless Stephon Diggs literally has the game of his life tonight, I'm going to lose the war room. So I'm so bummed. And then my wife comes home and apparently this kid was over at her house on Sunday.
Watching.
And just watching and right.
Now.
And talk about it. And just like, and just, and my wife, and so Beth's all upset going like, why are we losing? Why are we losing to Dylan? You know, and it's like, I don't know, Beth, like whatever. The kid started Saquon Barkley and Dallas Goedert. He had no business starting Dallas Goedert in a 12 team league, but he did. And he crushed. And we had Chris Carson leave early. It is what it is. I don't know what you want from me. Oh my goodness. So now I need Mike Boone to have a massive game too.
Well, that
to beat
actually
Dylan.
That actually could happen.
Right, it could happen.
Poor Dylan.
All right. So for the third time,
let Dylan have his victory.
Dylan Miskiewicz plays in fantasy leagues with Matthew. Who would have known it?
100%.
I didn't realize Dylan was a kid either.
Starting a coffee company.
Good for him.
100%.
Starting Dallas Goedert. Dylan Miskiewicz. Who knew?
Him and Christian.
Dylan Miskiewicz. Yeah. Listen, all I'm saying is that if dumb Sal Powell had kept his trap shut, you know what I mean? Like, Scott Clark would have started Greg Ward, and he would have an 8.5 lead going into night, and I've still got Diggs, so I got a chance.
Yeah.
Now I'm down 21.
Yeah.
I'm down 21, and he's got the Vikings kicker. So I need Stephon Diggs to outscore Dan Bailey by 21 points, by more than 21 points.
I still think it's possible, but we shall see. Five defenses.
I'm airing a grievance.
Okay, good.
Yes, it's been aired.
Five defenses you should consider for the upcoming week. Besides the Browns, the Packers play the Lions. It's obviously a very generous matchup that has worked in the favor of the teams that have played against the Lions. 9 fantasy points in each of the past 3 games for the Packers, by the way. The Cowboys play the Redskins. I don't feel as great about the Cowboys because the Redskins have actually been more functional of late. Now we'll see if Dwayne Haskins plays in Week 17. He left yesterday's game because of an ankle injury, did not return. The Jets play the Bills. Jets have kind of been sneaky fun for fantasy of late on defense. And the Bills, as we talked about, if we get information that it's Matt Barkley under center, then, yeah, you might feel pretty good about the Jets' defense. And then the Falcons. Jameis Winston. Need I say more?
Yeah, gift that keeps on giving.
The gift that keeps on giving. All right, so we move on from these Week 17 defenses to Week 17 injuries. And
before we get there, may I bring up one quick thing?
No.
All right.
Of course. What are you going to say?
Well, I wanted to point this out. If you go to, and you retweeted this as well, I believe Stefania did as well, but so our friend Michael Gelkin,
yes,
who does a great job, covering right
Dallas
now,
he is Morning News for the Cowboys.
Right. He covers the Cowboys. He's covered the Raiders and the Chargers previous in his career, but right now he's at the Dallas Morning News. He covers the Cowboys and he does this. He's done this for a number of years.
Yeah.
And you do as well. And a lot of people in the fantasy community have sort of reached onto this and tried to help amplify Michael's message. And so Michael he tweeted this out, and he's done this again for a number of years. It's his idea. But he said, a thought for the holidays. If a player helps you win your fantasy league, consider donating a portion of your winnings to a cause he supports. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that as well. It's the pinned tweet. If you go to my Twitter handle. Now, yeah. Mike asked us this question on social. We were going to get to it on social, but I just wanted to make sure we got to it in the middle of the show. So Mike said, how do I spend my winnings if I want to promote the donating to player charities? And so, you know, just sort of think about Michael Thomas, who represents the Second Harvest Food Bank, or Julio Jones, beloved Atlanta. And so there's, anyway, Tyler Higbee, the Special Olympics. There's lots of great charities as well. Again, you can either follow Michael on Twitter at Gehlken NFL.
Yep.
It's G-E-H-L-K-E-N.
And beyond that, he did say at the bottom of his page,
right, more charities
more
available.
More charities upon request. So if there's a player, like I don't think Saquon was on that list. Saquon may have won you your championship yesterday, or Dallas Goedert may have won you your championship yesterday.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Go ahead and reach out and you can get more
Tyler Boyd.
And,
you know, I mean, they're like,
and by the way, the players notice, because in years past, a couple of players have come forward and said, hey, thank you so much for these donations. So they notice, and in the spirit of good karma and everybody supporting fantasy football, it's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all. All right. So,
yeah. So anyway, just check that out. And hey, by the way, if you end up doing that, if you end up tweeting, if you end up making a donation to a player's charity, do me a favor and tweet that at me. Send me a screenshot, please.
Okay,
so
I
would love that at Matthew Berry TMR. But anyway, you can check out the full list. And if you need a if you need additional charities for a player that isn't listed, just ask Michael and he'll be happy to track that down for you.
So let's move on to the injuries in week 17, or injuries that took place prior to week 17. Limited a player or kept him out of week 16, and then spin things forward as best we can. Stefania, Kyler Murray left yesterday's game against the Seahawks, a game the Cardinals won because of a hamstring issue.
Yeah, replaced by Brett Hundley, and that could happen again. Cliff Kingsbury apparently saying he will only play Kyler Murray if he is 100% healthy. Really no reason to risk it. Anytime you have a hamstring injury, it's hard to believe you're going to be 100% one week later. So I would read the tea leaves and just anticipate that you may not have him available.
Feel the same way, obviously, here. For the Cardinals, I don't know that you're playing Christian Kirk right now with any real confidence, but after a zero-catch game yesterday. But if Brett Hundley is under center, certainly feel even less confident in that against the Rams this upcoming week. Dalvin Cook is not going to play tonight.
He's already been ruled out.
So let's make this a Dalvin Cook / Alexander Mattison conversation, Stefania. As of right now, what is your best sense or intel for week 17 for those two players?
So, as you mentioned, Dalvin Cook already ruled out. My sense is that he will be unlikely to play again next week.
Okay.
I mean, this
makes
is
sense.
A look ahead to Dalvin Cook has been such a workhorse for the team, and they already know they're going to the playoffs. And
correct.
You want Dalvin Cook for the playoffs.
Right.
So I think given the injury that he had, how bad it looked, it was a new shoulder injury on top of a previous chest/shoulder injury he was already dealing with, now banged up on both sides, essentially. So I expect him to be out. Alexander Mattison dealing with a high ankle sprain, listed as questionable for tonight, but everything pointing to him being more likely to sit out than not. And he's a little bit more questionable because of the fact that he did get in a tiny bit of practice on Saturday. I would say, again, look, if the Vikings are really looking ahead to the playoffs and they're able to get through this and with Mike Boone, I don't know that you're going to see Alexander Mattison either.
Let's be honest with ourselves, too. Their thinking could change depending on how Mike Boone performs tonight.
Sure.
And what they have at stake in week 17. They do not win the NFC North just by winning today. And on Sunday, they need to win tonight against the Packers, and the Packers then need to lose to the Lions next week, plus the Vikings need to beat the Bears. So a lot has to go right for them to win this
division.
But we
all know how high, health should be first, although it hasn't always been the case there in Minnesota with the running backs who've tried to play through injuries and ended up with bigger problems. And as we know, high ankle sprains, even when a guy, let's just say that Alexander Mattison does some limited practice, you think he's going to play. You'd be playing a running back with a fresh high ankle sprain. That would cause me some concern, too.
No, thank you.
Plan on some Mike Boone, excuse me, in week 17.
Boone shakalaka.
Not bad.
Boone shakalaka.
Not bad.
Are you ready for a boondoggle?
You know I'm always down.
Yeah. Always. Devine is always down for a boondoggle.
So this was really tough yesterday for the Seahawks. They lose in a short period of time, Chris Carson and CJ Procise.
Right.
And Pete Carroll came out right after the game and said, and I saw the initial sort of tweets, and I'm like, I got to watch this press conference to see what kind of detail and clarity he's giving. And he comes right out, and he clarifies that as of right now, I can't say definitively that Chris Carson is going to be out for the season, but he's out for week 17, and it certainly sounds like he's going to be out for the entire season. CJ Procise broke his arm. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
Two running backs. Their top two running backs. Rashad Penny.
Already
ACL,
done for the year.
Already on IR.
So I don't want to say that like their health beyond week 17 doesn't matter. Obviously it matters. It's a person's life. for fantasy football purposes, we know that the season goes for week 17 and neither Carson or ProSize will be available. Right. That's a guarantee.
And also, they have a very important game.
Yeah, I'll say
so. This is not a situation where it's like, oh, if it's important enough, these guys are going to, these injuries are enough. You're not going to see these guys.
Not going to see him. Travis Homer is the next man up, Matthew. Travis Homer, for those who are unfamiliar, sixth round pick out of Miami.
Yep.
Miami turns out yet another running back because that's what they do at the U. Had
Stephon, you just smiled.
Yeah. He he did have six catches yesterday for 26 yards.
Real question. What are the chances they add another running back?
I was just going to, you know, there's zero chance they don't add at least one.
Yeah.
I
have to.
That some of the names that have been kicked around, CJ Anderson, right? Yep. Who's like, who again helped the Rams get to the Super Bowl.
He does, right?
You know, maybe that's what it is. It's just,
I pointed this out when Phil and I were talking pre-show. I was listening to our friend Mina Kimes' podcast, The Daily, on the way in. She pointed out that Marshawn Lynch's mom tweeting about the Seahawks needing a running back.
How fitting would it be for
beast mode?
It would be incredible. So great.
They did recently kick the tires in a workout on both Robert Turbin and Alfred Blue, both players. Turbin is familiar to them as he was drafted by the team. And then Alfred Blue, I mean,
he was
with the Jaguars after being with the Texans. With the Jaguars this year, he was released from IR. So that was one of those workouts that was probably tied to Rashad Penny. They may need those guys to get back on a plane today.
By the way, and they're probably going to sign more than one.
I think Carson and Penny. ProSize IR, and then two running backs in. That would be my guess. I mean,
I would agree with that. I think to the extent that you're starting a Seahawks running back next week, it would be Travis Homer. I assume he makes the waiver wire column.
He does. Yes, but absent them signing, like if they sign someone like CJ Anderson, then I might be like, yeah, I might actually play CJ.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, ask the Rams. How that worked out.
Yeah.
I know it's crazy. But
it would be tough for me to, a guy just off the street. Now, we've seen weirder things happen.
Yeah.
Especially when you think about who they play. They're playing the 49ers week 17. So this is a tough matchup. That's the thing is that, like, you know, you think about Gus Edwards. Okay, great, Gus Edwards. He's playing the Steelers. You know, and then you're like, Travis Homer. Okay, playing the 49ers. Yeah. So it's some of these guys that are going to be filling in. It's a little bit of a challenge here in terms of not only projecting workload, but also the matchup is not ideal. And then we got news over the weekend. Actually.
That's right. So Derrick Henry did not play yesterday, Stefania. This thing's been bothering him for a while now, but do we expect him to miss week 17 too?
Apparently not. I mean, we got reporting from several places there on the ground in Tennessee that the downgrade of Derrick Henry on Saturday, which took us all by surprise because they've had this management program in place and he's been effectively playing through it. But it was the first time he'd had a full practice in a while. Then he gets downgraded the next day. So it was conceivable that he could have had a setback. But again, the reporting saying that that's not the case. It was more precautionary that they just wanted to rest him and that they fully expect to have him back in week 17.
I haven't done the math, but people are telling me now that the Raiders still have a chance to make the playoffs, which would mean they'd go 8-8. I also have people telling me that yesterday's game was irrelevant for the Titans. Or maybe, you know what? I think I'm sort of doing the math in my head again now that I kind of, are the Titans 8-7 now? What's their record? 8-7?
Sounds right.
Okay. Because if they had won yesterday, they'd be 9-6, which would mean the Raiders would be eliminated.
Right.
Wouldn't the Titans have been, I feel like, maybe I'm wrong here, but I feel like this whole, like, the Titans didn't need to play for anything yesterday. If they had won, they'd be 9-6 and the Raiders would have no life.
Correct.
The Steelers.
I was obviously watching the Browns game the whole time.
Yeah.
And they kept saying that. And I was thinking to myself, it's not possible because the Raiders only have one game to play.
Right. So
I have no idea how that narrative got out there that it didn't matter if they won. I was like, it does matter if they win as far as the playoff picture itself.
Clearly it did.
Of course it matters if they win because
they're already a game ahead of them.
Right. So what happens if the Titans won yesterday, they'd be 9-6. If the Titans lose next week, they'd be 9-7. But what if the Steelers lose and the Raiders lose? Heck, even the Raiders win. I don't know how that got out there that this wasn't important to them.
Which is rare because they're usually really good at that stuff entering the week, you know? And it's so funny because I felt the same way. And I was like, I stayed off Twitter. I was like, I'm not even going to get there.
You know what's bizarre about it is that it seemed to impact their decision-making yesterday. Right? I mean,
the only thing that I could think is that let's assume Derrick Henry, just specific to him, does come in a tiny bit sore on Saturday. Like, I had this full practice. I'm a little sore. And they're just like, you know what? We need you. we just can't quite take that chance, so we're just going to say we're arresting you and saving you.
Yeah,
as opposed to like a serious.
I'm just so confused.
But
I was trying to figure.
I don't think they did
night.
It in the spirit of like we don't need to win this game, but
no, they tried to win.
Narrative, yeah. That was an narrative that popped up yesterday.
I don't think that
the
was
only thing
theirs.
I can think of here, Field, and again, it's poor reporting or whatever. Somebody maybe not doing, you know, dotting all the I's and crossing the T's. But the only way the Raiders, basically, what you're saying is that like. Five things had to happen for the Raiders to be available, to be still be alive. All five things did happen, but maybe the idea was that somebody looked at that and said, like, oh, well, that's not all happening. So I'm with you. I'm just
right.
I'm
there's a difference between being like there's zero to play for and like there is not likely anything to play for.
Right.
That's a very, very big difference. I know what Oakland is. I'm just saying that like going into yesterday. Several people promoted the idea that Tennessee had zero to play for. It did not matter. All they had to do was win one of two to get into the playoffs. And if they win, or that like,
no,
if they lost,
it only came down to because they were playing an NFC team. Like the only thing that really mattered was Week 17. They had to win Week 17 to get in. That whether they won or lost, it wouldn't. I think. This is what was being promoted. I'm not saying it's true, but what was being promoted is that because they were playing the Saints and it was because they were promoting the Saints, they were playing the Saints and there was an NFC team that it didn't ultimately matter whether they won or lost. They could still make the playoffs or not make the playoffs based on what they did in Week 17 when they play the Houston Texans.
Right, but your margin for error decreases if you lose yesterday. Right. Anyways, my brain's a pretzel right now. Keith, final word.
No, so what was odd for me is that it was almost related to the Steelers as well, and I thought, okay, but the Steelers were ahead of them by tiebreaker at that point. So if they lose that game, if they both lose, because it's almost like they were saying, oh, the Steelers won't lose to the Jets.
Right.
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 And like, well, guess what?
There were some assumptions being made, I think.
Which never happens, though, when it comes to the reporting of it. So I was surprised as well.
It's weird. Anyways, so, the whole thing is odd, and I don't get it. But Derrick Henry is likely to play in Week 17,
that's the
which is the part that we actually care about.
By the way, I was looking away because I got an alert on my phone from the Fantasy Life app, which continues to crush on the alerts. And NFL Network is reporting Marshawn Lynch and the Seahawks opened reunion. Lynch has told people who plans to travel to Seattle today to discuss it. So that
you heard it here first.
There you go. That is per. That
and
is
actually,
per NFL
really,
Network.
Props to Mina for pointing out that Marshawn's mom probably started the whole ball rolling by putting it out there in the universe.
They
speaking it into existence.
All I'll say is it's like, listen, the NFL is better with Marshawn Lynch in it. So you know what? Like, here's hoping.
Darius Slayton, did he get banged up yesterday as well?
He did.
Cody Lattimore ended up playing a bunch because of Slayton's injury.
He was trying to play through it, but he ended up having to leave the game because of it.
Hard for me to put a lot of faith into Cody Latimer because Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, Caden Smith, heck, Saquon Barkley, big part of the passing game yesterday. But for those that may have been playing Darius Slayton, I think what happened was Slayton was a guy that helped you cement playoff spots and then probably ended up on a lot of benches in championship rosters, but still a promising season may have come to an end for him. Will Fuller, Stefania.
Oh, the word brittle comes to mind. It's really unfortunate because he's so talented, but he just has difficulty staying on the field. And it's already, you know, floating out there that Will Fuller will not play this week. Obviously, the Texans looking ahead to the playoffs and hoping that they can get him back and get him healthy for the playoff round.
Yeah, it's a...
It's a shame.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's every Saturday or Sunday you kind of expect it. So if he plays in Week 17, which doesn't sound like he's going to play... Heck, I'm not sure he's going to play for the wild card round either.
I think they're hoping that they get him for the playoffs.
We'll see. Yeah.
Which would be all the reason why he will not play this week.
Another reason. Listen again, as you sort of talk about sort of waiver wire guys, Kenny Stills, who had 9 targets over the weekend, and has been up and down this year, but like the Titans secondary has been banged up.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. They're a team that could potentially have little to play for, depending on what happens in the Kansas City game as well. DJ Moore left yesterday's game. He's
early.
In concussion protocols.
But I think everybody was like, wow, DJ Moore out of the game very early. One catch for 1 yard, I think, on 2 targets before he was injured.
Yeah, so we'll see if he plays on Sunday. The Panthers are a hot mess right now. They play.
Will Greer did not look great, but it didn't matter. Chris McCaffrey is still Chris McCaffrey.
Yeah,
doesn't matter who's under center.
Yeah, other than Christian McCaffrey, that's all.
There's
that
really not
really
anything there.
Really matters, but DJ Moore. We'll see if he plays on Sunday. It seems like there's a chance he will not be available as they play the Saints. Huge game for New Orleans. One more here is James Conner.
Again.
The Will Fuller of running backs.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah,
I know. A thigh injury is what we're hearing, but there's not really been a ton of detail on it. 6 carries, 32 yards before he got hurt.
Yeah, look, you're never rooting for injury. You know, what James Conner has overcome in his life, much respect and tremendous, you know, tremendous respect. Salute to James Conner. I will just tell you that he was a first round pick for me in our 16 team war room league. I had picked 16 and I picked him in my first round pick. And I had a decision yesterday morning, him or Deion Lewis with Derrick Henry ruled in out. I had a decision for my flex spot, James Conner or Deion Lewis. And I went with Deion Lewis for a variety of reasons. One of which was, you know what? James Conner feels like he always just leaves the game early. I feel better about the odds of Deion Lewis finishing this game. This is true. You guys were there because we were talking about this off air.
Trust me, I remember.
And I started Deion Lewis, which ended up, and not that Lewis had a great game, but it ended up being the right call. I think he finished with 9.3 points or something like that. I will say, look, I get it, and the Steelers are going to be a lot better when Ben comes back next year, but man, oh man, I can't imagine ever drafting James Conner again.
Disappointing
very
season,
frustrating,
that's for sure.
Very
James
frustrating
Conner,
to have on a roster.
Available in week 17. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about
I was merely going to say is that, like, by the way, and whether James Conner can play, like, they're at Baltimore.
Why would you play any Steelers?
Why would you play any Steelers running back? It's going to be a committee, even if it's Conner. Like, you can't. No, thank you.
We'll be back in just a second talking about the gift that keeps on giving. But first, a word from the Fantasy Show.
Fantasy, you in the 06010.
More items here. On Saturday, Jameis Winston did what he does, which is, again, he is, as Stefania said, the gift that keeps on giving. He is the human roller coaster, at least amongst quarterbacks. He had 335 passing yards. He had a touchdown. He also had 4 completions to the wrong team.
to start the game.
That's right. He threw
2
a pick
picks to start the game.
It was pretty glorious. It was very Jameis.
Look, live by the Jameis, die by the Jameis, right? I mean, like, I was in a number of finals because of Jameis, because of the run he had been on, and then I'm gonna lose a lot of finals because of Jameis. Like, he was brutal. His worst game of the year.
Cameron Brate dropped a pass at the end of the game, and the broadcasters were saying, like, he went over and he dapped him up right away, and I'm like, because he totally knows he can't blame anyone else for any error when
brutal drops.
He had some bad misses.
He
had Rashad Perryman running wide, like he just completely overthrew him. But like OJ Howard missed a big play that if he makes that catch, he waltzes into the end zone for a big play.
They never throwed him. He forgot how to catch.
He didn't realize the ball was coming to him. But, Cameron Brate with a bad drop.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that Cameron Brate drop was on third down to help extend the play.
I'm just saying, to extend the drive, I mean, he can't be critical of his teammates because it starts there. And when you start off the game giving the ball away on 2 consecutive plays.
You know what, though, guys?
For fantasy?
For week 17?
I know.
Right back into the lineup. 100%. It's Atlanta and it's Jameis. Like, if nothing else, he's going to be undeterred.
Insanity.
4 interceptions would normally cripple a quarterback. Not that 11.2 is good.
No.
But it could have been like minus 11.2 or could have been minus 2.2 with four interceptions.
I wish I had as much confidence in anything in my life as Jameis does the pass after an interception.
Sure. And it's amazing.
I mean, nerves of steel.
Yeah, certainly nerves of steel. He's like a baseball player. He just keeps striking out and he's going to eventually hit a home run. Yeah. Rashad Perriman locked in though. Rashad Perriman, 7 for 102. Yeah. That was a pleasant outing from him.
And could have been a lot bigger, too. Like, again, like,
he missed a 40-yard touchdown pass that Jameis got to put in the breadbasket. Perriman's blazing fast, and Jameis overthrew him. Hard to do, and he did it.
And he did that. And by the way, Perriman, who for the longest time early in his career struggled with drops. He struggled to stay healthy and struggled with drops. And he made a number of really impressive catches in this game, shoestring catches, contested catches on the sideline, getting toes down. I mean, it's an impressive performance from Rashad Perriman. I think a lot of people were concerned about how's he going to be as the number one without Evans, without Godwin, and the answer is very well.
Yeah.
Even in a game in which Jameis was brutal and turned the ball over 4 times and overthrew him, which, I mean, could have been a much bigger day, but still, you know, listen, he's an easy top 20 must-start play for me this week.
Feel the same way about him, and we'll talk about Jared Goff, whether he's a must-start in just a moment. But first, Stefania, a word from you on ADT.
You know, burglars love the holidays, guys.
They do.
They know you're going out to shop for last minute gifts. You're
burger. That's my impression of a burglar.
I know that's what they do.
They come up to a window and they go, burgle, burgle.
Is that what they do? They advertise it through.
Yeah.
Well, and just in case they don't, you're going to want to hear this. They know you're going out to shop for last minute gifts, off to visit family, or going on a long vacation. So you have to ask yourself, what does real protection mean for you? Well, with ADT, you can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted names in home security. Customize your system to fit your home. Everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks, and lights, all controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. So help protect your home this holiday season and get the nation's number one smart home security provider. Get ADT. Visit ADT.com today.
Thank you, Stefan. Yeah, let's move along to Jared Goff, who not available in a ton of leagues, but he is available in some. And Jared Goff has been really good, actually, over the past four games. He's got four straight games with 280 passing yards and multiple passing touchdowns. If you have someone like Lamar Jackson or maybe Josh Allen or maybe Kyler Murray starting quarterback, Matthew, would you be turning to Jared Goff as a potential starter in Week 17 against the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, at home, especially where Goff has played better this year. Look, he's now had four straight games with over 280 passing yards and multiple touchdown passes. You know, credit the Arizona Cardinals, right? Credit the Arizona Cardinals who played well.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know me, I have dogged the Cardinals.
They are your favorite, least favorite team. Or least favorite, favorite team.
Yeah.
But look, credit where credit is due. They played well. That's a hell of a win.
It's a great win for them.
Another donation.
That is not, absolutely not. I'm telling you not. I will fight that till the, I will die on that hill.
It's not a hill.
I will die
on
that hill. That is not a curse word.
We did have a poll on December 2nd, and it did come back that 76% of people from our fantasy focused Twitter handle said, no, it is not.
Well, you know why? Because I'm a man of the people.
You know
that's
why?
Right. I'm a man of the people.
Go ahead. They can donate money then.
That's fine. You know what? Listen, I'm absolutely not. I got boots on the ground. I'm out there shaking hands, kissing babies.
You
know,
say that when you talk to the babies?
Yeah, 100%. And certainly, they need to learn.
If you wouldn't say it to the children, then you need to put it back in the jar.
I've been very clear about this. I'm going to air another grievance. I've been very clear about this. My specific rule is if I can't say it on air at ESPN, no one is going to talk to me. Like, there are a lot of words that I could say on ESPN broadcast, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm broadcasting live on an ESPN platform. And maybe, please. But look, as of right now, I'm still employed by ESPN and I'm broadcasting live on one of their platforms. And there are a lot of words. There are a lot of words that I could say on a live microphone that would get me in a lot of trouble. That would get me suspended. That would get me spoken to. That would get me fired. There are a lot of words that would certainly get written up in all the blogs and everything like that.
I don't know what you mean.
H-E double hockey sticks is not one of them. Hell is not one of them.
That's the one.
Absolutely not. Hell and hell of a is absolutely not one of them. I've said it. No one's going to talk to me. Not cool, Keith. You're part of the management structure here at ESPN. Is anyone going to talk to me?
You don't want to drag me into this.
Absolutely. I'm dragging you in. You've been dragged.
Sounds like Keith doesn't want Keith to be dragged into this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I want you in. You've been dragged in. There's no secret squirrel here. So come on. You're part of the management structure here.
Well, we have a breaking news drop that could mean the end of your career. So I would just advise you to watch your mouth.
That's fine. Play the breaking news. Look, if I'm fired, let me know now so I can just leave. Start my holiday early.
Now,
so I don't have to work on my birthday.
I knew you were going to say that.
You are so basic.
I will be 100%. I will be drunk on an island by, you know,
in
10
a boat,
o'clock tonight.
Drunk in a boat on an
yeah,
island.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That is completely fine. 100%.
Right, let's move along to a couple of flyers for Week 17. Because what you were saying,
anyway,
you were agreeing with me that Jared Goff is a viable starter in Week 17 against the Cardinals.
Even though
they have been better of late, as you noted, two-game winning streak for them.
Cardinals played well on the road at Seattle. That is a nice win, and they played well defensively. Give credit where credit is due. Having said that, the Rams' offense has looked better. Goff has looked better as well. And so do I trust – I don't think he's like a no-brainer start. I would prefer Winston to him, but yes, do I think Goff is viable at home against Arizona? I do.
Okay, so two flyers, and we're talking players that are available in almost 90% or even close to 100% of leagues, that if you're down big and you're like, I'm going to swing for the fences, Yep. Two names that come to mind, John Ross, who I'll talk about. I'll give you the last one, Matthew, because I know he was your long shot on Fantasy Football Now. John Ross against the Browns, coming off 6 catches for 84 yards. He had 13 targets. Remember, he was good at the beginning of the season and then got injured, so he missed a bunch of time. No A.J. Green, obviously. Played 80% of the snaps yesterday for the Bengals, who much of their damage came in the fourth quarter. But still, doesn't matter when it comes, as long as he gets there. So John Ross would be a swing for the fences kind of home run flyer. And then your guy, Steven Sims.
Yeah, he was my long shot on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning. He was mentioned in Love Hate as well. And all he does is go out 6 for 64, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, look good.
If you played him in Daily, which we also talked about, he was dirt cheap, and he certainly paid off for you there. One of the reasons I liked him was just there's not anyone else there. Like Paul Richardson, Trey Quinn, like this is a team that was going to have to throw to keep up with the Giants because their secondary is so beat up, the Redskins, right? I mean, Quentin Dunbar, Fabian Moreau, neither of them played on Sunday. It's a beat-up secondary that wasn't particularly great to begin with. And so they were going to have to throw. And coming into the game, Steven Sims had 18 targets over the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
He now has 3 straight weeks of 7 or more targets.
Yeah, he's been good.
There, you know, and 3, 4, 5, 6. That's his catch total of the last 4 weeks. He's great. Starting to gain more and more confidence and more of a rapport with Dwayne Haskins. Now, Dwayne Haskins left this game early with an injury, Stefania. It doesn't sound like initially
carted off with an ankle injury. Didn't look good.
Did not look good. My expectation as we sit here on Monday morning is that Case Keenum gets the start in week 17. There's no reason to, again, at the moment, Dwayne Haskins is the franchise. Now we'll see what happens.
He's still the franchise. Chase Young will be the franchise.
I was just going to say, watch Cincinnati draft Chase Young because they believe in Ryan Finley, and then all of a sudden, watch the Redskins draft
been
Joe
been
Burrow.
If they believe in him, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right, we're going to answer
anyway, whatever.
A couple
we'll
of social
see what
questions.
Happens. But Steven Sims, I do believe in. They like him a lot, and I think he's going to be their starting slot receiver next year.
We got a couple of social questions from Keith in a minute, but first, to cap things off, Matthew, a live read from you about our friends at SeatGeek.
Oh, hang on. Let me find that.
Right there.
I have lots of grievances to air, but not about our friends at SeatGeek. You know, a lot of people, one of the grievances you hear a lot is people feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose. It's as if they're so big, they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. Well, with millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one sweet place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd. They built the fastest way to find tickets. So you, and this means you, Field, can stop searching for the perfect seat and start enjoying it. What SeatGeek does is they pull together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale from 1 to 10. They have an interactive map, a seat map that they display them on, and they break down the details. Green dots mean good deals, red dots are overpriced, and every purchase on SeatGeek is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek's even going to give you $10 off. You heard me. $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code, not any of the other promo codes. Absolutely not. Don't do that. Use our promo code. Don't make me air a grievance about you. Download the SeatGeek app today and use the promo code FFF. That stands for Fantasy Focus Football. But the promo code FFF gets you $10 off your first purchase. Once again, on the SeatGeek app, use promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase.
Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Let's rock.
All right, guys, here we go. Two of them. Nick wants to know, how do you think this late season run will impact Kenyon Drake's 2020 value?
Well, start here. He's a free agent, so we don't know if he's going to be back in Arizona. We also don't know if David Johnson, who's guaranteed over $10 million next year, will be back in Arizona.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing David Johnson being back.
Mm-hmm.
I have an easy time seeing Kenyon Drake being back. And if he is back, I would think of him as a potential top 15 running back going into next season.
Yeah, I mean, you'd want to see what they do with their offense. You know, you'd hope they improve their offensive line a little bit. But I will say that I think, you know what Lamar Jackson did this year? This is too extreme.
Yeah.
But I'm just...
Kyler's going to make major strides.
Kyler's going to make major strides.
Agreed.
Kyler's going to be a big sleeper for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people in the fantasy community.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's going to be... He should be a very popular pick next year.
I think
he's going to take a big leap. I don't want to project that Kyler's going to have the greatest fantasy season of all time, which is what Lamar Jackson is 1.5 points away from doing. But I do think Kyler Murray's going to be much improved next year. Another year of Christian Kirk. We expect Larry Fitzgerald to retire. So I think that offense will look, who knows? I mean, still playing at a high level.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, listen, I think I'd probably more top 20 for Kenyon Drake, but, there's no question he's been a very good fit for Cliff Kingsbury's offense and has done well. And if he's the guy and David Johnson is no longer there, certainly very interesting. He'll be a popular selection next year.
All right, Keith.
The last one comes from Al. Amari Cooper has 43 yards the past 2 weeks. Any chance he bails me out in week 17?
Sure, there's a chance. He's at home where he has traditionally played better this year, as has Dak. Dak has played better this year as well.
Yeah,
and they're playing the Redskins, right? Yeah. My Redskins, as we just talked about, the Redskins secondary is really beat up here as well. Look, Stefania, did anything look off to you from Dak Prescott health-wise? It was a bad game.
I mean, I think there were some missed opportunities, including one to Amari Cooper, where, you know, but for the most part,
I don't think it impacted him. I mean, I can't say that I would say, he definitely was dramatically impacted, I should say.
No, I wouldn't say dramatically, but I think there were times where he wasn't as accurate as he has been. I mean, he's been super efficient at the past, if you look back at the start of the season.
Yeah.
I was more surprised by the overall game plan. Like, it sounded like from the reports even that we got early, that they're going to rely much more on the running game than they did, and it just...
Well, I said on Fantasy Football Now that
he took hits even and
I said
came out none the worse for the wear.
Not that this was some amazing call or anything like that, but I said on Fantasy Football Now that I had a gut feeling. I thought Philly was going to come to play, that I know it all lined up as a great, that the numbers all told you it was a great matchup. But I thought in Philadelphia, late December, in essence a playoff game because only the Eagles and Cowboys, only one of them is making the playoffs, I felt like the Eagles would show up and play. And by the way, credit to their defense because they did.
They sure did.
Now, Dak and Amari helped them out. There were some bad drops. Some of the play calling was a little bit weird to your point, Stefania. Amari was they were in and out of.
Oh yeah,
I mean like some of the usage was weird, right? And so yeah. Amari continues to insist that he is not hurt. Feels like he might be, but to answer your question, if I had Amari Cooper and I was still alive and I'm playing in Week 17, I'm starting him at home against the Redskins. Remember when they played earlier this year for 4 for 44 and a touchdown, which you'd certainly take.
Unanimous on that front. All right, we are back in a week. We, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, no more shows for the rest of this week. It's a holiday week, so we are back next Monday, and you'll have plenty of information. It's our award show. We'll obviously talk about a couple of things that might happen this upcoming Sunday, but we're going to have an award show. It's going to be broadcast during the evening. More information forthcoming on that, but in the meantime, we wish you all the happiest of holidays, whichever one that you celebrate during this time of the year. It is a wonderful time for reflection, hopefully a lot of gratitude towards special time spent with important people in your life.
Well said, Field. And I will say, just very quickly, in addition to wishing everyone a happy holidays, or whatever you celebrate, I just want to say, since this is our last broadcast of the regular season, I just want to take a moment to thank everyone for coming along this ride with
us.
So, thank you very much, Field, to you, to Stefania, to Mike Clay, to Secret Squirrel Daniel Dopp, to Not Cool Keith, to Thirsty Kyle Soppy,
for
Jackson Agello, for our video team, Kenny and Caroline and Isaac, and do a great job in terms of all the video clips that you
behind the scenes. Yep.
There's a ton of people that work very, very hard to make us look semi-competent. And so, we couldn't do this show without them. We definitely shouldn't do this show without them. We desperately need them. So, just want to say thank you very much to everyone for a great year, and most of all, our fans, our listeners, our video viewers as well.
Without you, we don't have a show. We say that all the time. And also to all the folks who came out to our live shows this year.
Yep.
Really appreciate that. That's one of the best things that we do, is to get a chance to meet people in person. So thank you very much.
We already look forward to what is ahead for our next show next Monday night, and also 2020. Go out there and celebrate your fantasy championships. Hopefully you all have won, and we promise we won't be strangers during the offseason. You'll be hearing from us a whole bunch. But in the meantime, everybody, happy holidays, safe travels. Go into week 17 with some confidence if you're still playing. We'll talk to you guys next Monday.
Peace out! And peace on earth.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate.
tomato, who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field.